Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton. And today I would like to tell you about belly button lint and collections thereof. It's going to be good. Going to spend about a half hour on that. And then we'll move on and spend about 5 minutes on a few other things. Actually, I do want to tell you about belly button lint collecting.
Okay, bring it on.
There's a fellow named Graham Baker. And over his lifetime, he has collected 3 jars, 22.1 grams of belly button lint. I always like to know how much is 22.1 grams. It's about the size of a mouse or a AA battery. It's about the same weight.
I kind of felt like a little barfy feeling.
Did you? Well, they're pretty colors. One of the jars is kind of a gray green. One of the jars is kind of red. Like maybe he owned a red towel
or a sweater.
Years.
Yeah.
He's super into tweeds for a while. That's his hobby. Every day he collects his belly button lint and puts it into a jar. Mm-hmm. Super relatable. Really brings it home for me.
It does. And hobbies, you know, there's so many hobbies out there. Today
yes.
We're going to tell you everything you never knew you wanted to know about some awesome hobbies.
Yeah, this was kind of a lower point. It gets better.
So hobbies are often an activity practiced for interest and enjoyment. I don't know if personally collecting my own belly button lint would be something I would enjoy, but, you know, to each his own or her own. In the early 16th century, the term hobbin meant a small horse and or pony. So 1557, a hobby horse mm-hmm. was a wicker basket frame or wood with a fake horse's head.
Mm-hmm.
By the 17th century, the word hobby, like if you said, oh, Amy has a hobby, mm-hmm. that was a negative word. It was used to suggest that your pursuit was childish because, you know, we're adults. We've got work to do. We've got things to do. We don't have time to collect flowers or, mm-hmm. you know, lick stamps or whatever you're going to do for your hobby. We need to focus. We've got things to do. Well, by the 18th century, industrialization is going on, just like with floriography, and people mm-hmm. now have some money to spend. Well, now we've got time to spend. So people have more leisure time and hobbies become more mainstream and respectable. Although I think some of the hobbies we're going to talk about today are not exactly mainstream hobbies.
No, the progression makes a little leap once in a while.
Yeah, they're definitely seriously cool and awesome hobbies.
Yes, like extreme ironing. Are we ready for that?
Bring it on.
Can you handle extreme ironing?
I don't think I can.
In the 80s, a gentleman named John Slater was ironing his clothes when camping in a tent. And his brother-in-law took notice of this. Like, are you kidding? You're camping. Why are you ironing in your tent? And this brings to the question, my first question about this hobby is, where do they get power from? Are there electric iron? Like, are
yes.
they? Oh, okay, good. Because yeah. that has been plaguing me and I couldn't really.
Yeah, you can get a
come
battery.
Up with the right search term.
You can get a battery powered iron.
I just never went to Amazon.
I only know this because my mother-in-law is a huge quilter.
Oh.
And they go to quilting camps. And now generally they go someplace where they can plug stuff in.
You're
but
never
yes.
dependent on someone's outlet though.
Nope.
All right. So now this hobby meshes for me because I even went to Facebook and I'm looking for, there is an extreme ironing Facebook page. And so I'm like, oh, excited. And I message the guy and then it gets an auto response saying, hey, I've kind of retired, but best wishes. Check out our, you know, oh, I have questions for you. Logistical things. The brother-in-law of this John Slater fellow, Tony, is the brother-in-law. And so he would kind of make fun and would take it. And I've got a list here. He's been in lounges on top of telephone kiosks and charity clothing bins. He would carry an ironing board and an iron around in his car with him and find weird places to iron at.
Although I imagine for this thing, they probably were not using a hot iron because isn't
That's
there something about skydiving?
Yes, and bungee jumping and
yeah, you can't have a hot iron for that. That just seems like
no. That was one of my other questions. Does this hobby require? Is there any street cred if you have extreme precision? Are they posting pictures of their really beautifully creased sleeves and that kind of thing? Uh-huh. But there's also pictures of people underwater ironing, which then there's no electricity happening there. They're not electric eels.
So it's just the act of having the board, having the iron, having the shirt. And
yeah, on Mount Fuji.
Yeah, completing your act with all of it in one. I like that. I like the idea of this whack out of what you expected place. Yeah, because I'm just imagining extreme bungee jumping with an actual hot iron. And then it would also be extreme first aid, probably.
Stop bouncing. I didn't bandage that. We need to get ice on that.
He's got these triangle-shaped burns. And I'm saying he because, let's be honest, it would be a dude. He'd be like, and off the thing.
Ladies come into it. They're like, I can get a better crease than that faster. Move, please. I will do it.
That is not how you do a shoulder seam.
Yeah. Mm-mm. The first event, apparently, was held in mid-September 02 in Valley, Bavaria. And they've had them all around Austria, Australia, Chile, Croatia, Great Britain, Germany. They have sections. There's an urban section involving ironing in, on, or around a broken down car, water, like in a fast flowing river location. They could use surfboards or canoes, that kind of thing. Forest ironing, freestyle.
I'm imagining a... a calendar.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
As a fundraiser.
Yeah. It's just middle-aged people ironing in places.
Especially the forest. You know, I'm thinking a big redwood thing and there's like a beam of sunlight coming through and there they are.
Ironing.
Oh, I like that.
It does seem peaceful and lovely.
I might need to throw an ironing board and an iron in the back of the car.
Yeah. I think that this has also spawned some other funny. I thought I read a blurb that said extreme cello playing is a thing. That would be actually kind of great. You see people with those travel guitars and stuff. Nature inspires us to greatness.
If extreme ironing is not dangerous enough for you, I have fire hula hooping. I just keep coming back to fire.
Yes. I saw this in the notes and I had to stop myself from reading. I want it to be an exciting surprise.
I think I'm a baby pyromaniac. So a couple years ago, I started learning how to hula hoop.
Yes.
And I was really horrible at it. And now I can move a hoop up and down and I can take it off my body and all this kind of stuff. And so the next step, I was like, I want to learn how to fire hula hoop. I don't think I'm ready yet.
No?
No. I do have some video.
I do have logistical questions.
Well, yeah. So I have some video on the website so you can watch a gal. You need to go in about 43 seconds if you want to see her hooping with this fire hoop on her body. Mm-hmm. She spends a while being very atmospheric about moving this flaming thing around. So you've got your hula hoop. A standard hula hoop for an adult is, you know, it comes up to your waist. So it's much bigger than your playground hula hoop.
Yeah.
You can buy hoops specially designed to do this, or you can get these 20-inch long spines with, it looks like a pipe fitting attachment.
Okay.
That you can hook onto your hula hoop.
Yeah.
So for your average hula hoop, usually you'd see like five. Mm-hmm. And then the end of this spine has a big wad of like lamp wicking attached to it. So those spines you're soaking in. This was so great. I found this website where they had all these different fuels and they're like, don't use this, use that. They recommend using white gas and you soak it and then light it on fire. Do not try this at home. I did not tell you you could do this. We're just talking about this.
You might want to put that in the show notes.
Yes, I did. In giant type, I have, do not try this at home. Yeah, so they recommend that you hoop with a partner so that you're holding your hoop, and then they light the little wicks on fire so you've got the balls of flame. And then they recommend practicing without them on fire because you have to grab the hoop. And if you grab the spines, apparently the spines get quite hot.
Oh, I'm sure.
They, you know, and they say you keep your fuel so many feet away and you have fire extinguisher and you have wet towels and wear clothes that aren't flammable and put your hair up in a bun.
All my clothes are flammable.
Well, like cotton, like your cotton t-shirt.
Not polyester.
No, that would melt. That would be bad.
Like your leathers. You want to do it in your leathers, I guess?
I don't know. Well, what's funny is a lot of the ladies and men you see doing it, if it's a guy, he usually doesn't have a shirt on and he's got his leather pants. And if it's a gal, it's like a bikini top and her yoga looking pants. Huh. So they're a lot more hardcore than I am. I think I'd probably be trying to hula hoop in an aluminum suit or something. But one of the hula hoopers was talking about stuff that you need to know before you try this. Mm-hmm. It's super loud.
Really?
So if you're hooping, the flames going around you, she's like, it's going to be super loud. So you need to either crank your tunes or realize that you're not going to be able to hear anything. It's very hot. Well,
Yes.
That makes sense. And then she said one thing she didn't realize is how bright it would be, because often you fire hula hoop at night because during the day it wouldn't.
It's not as awesome.
No. At night it does look super awesome. But she was saying that up on stage, she's hula hooping and she's got the fire thing, and she realized she didn't know where the edges of the stage were.
Oh, gosh.
And it's so bright, you can't see.
Yeah, and you don't want to fall into the audience with that.
So again, don't try this at home. You need special training. You need to be a super good hooper. I am not there yet.
I need a minute because I'm still considering all the potential logistics here and wondering how many dudes no longer have chest hair as a result.
Or arm hair or burn marks. It's one of those things where you watch it and you're like, that's super cool. I could totally do that. And then when you start thinking about it, you realize that maybe I'm not that cool.
Yes. We were at Silverwood. There's a theme park in North Idaho called Silverwood. And we watched the magic show. A fellow named Isaiah Daniels did the magic show. And he did some fire eating. And I posted the cool. I'm like, this guy did fire eating on social media. And I got a reply from a friend saying, I know his mom. I'm like, what must it be like to be the mother of that person? She's like, it was a little harrowing.
Oh, especially as growing up, because you come home and he's like, why does your breath smell like gasoline?
Exactly. Propane, apparently.
Oh,
that seems worse. I don't know. It's all of it's bad.
Don't put that in your mouth. Yeah, also, don't try that at home.
Yeah. So having a spouse or someone in your life who's doing this hula hooping thing, like, you're their fire extinguisher person. That's a little harrowing too.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband is like,
we're not going to do that.
That would look really cool, but I don't know if our insurance is good enough.
Right. Exactly. Yes. There are so many reasons this isn't going to happen.
Right. Do you have a safer hobby?
Yes. I have Rube Goldberging. And you never knew it was a word you could use that way, did you?
Not as a verb. No.
Fun fact, actually, it is an adjective in Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
Oh.
It is accomplishing by complex means what seemingly could be done simply. You've seen the contraption where you put a marble in and it goes down a track and sets off a ping pong ball. And there are traces frantically writing a note because I probably can't see something I did.
No, I just realized that you're so touchy. No, there's an OK Go. That's a band.
Yeah.
And they have a video. They have a...
I might have found them and posted it to the website. Is it Guys in Paint Suits?
Yes.
Yes. Go watch it. It's on the website.
It's fantastic. And the whole song runs and it's all one long shot and the guys move from different places.
They're walking through the video and it is. You can see it's a continuous shot. It's
super
amazing.
Cool.
And they are interactive in it. There's one where... I'm not going to tell you. Go watch it.
Yeah.
It is terrific. And it's long. There's another one. That's what we got sucked into these last night. My son and I were watching all these. They're 7 minutes long videos. And so that means someone has set up and successfully executed 7 minutes worth of one thing leading to another and setting off another reaction. And the goal at the end is to turn on a light or to set loose some balloons. They're so wonderful to watch. But if you go to rubegoldberg.com, you can start a little club and go to a competition. So this could be, I got so excited. I'm like, I'm going to go find a teacher who wants to start this club because for $400, we can compete.
Did they list teams by state?
Yeah, you can do regionals. I didn't go far down that road because I thought...
Because I don't know if I'd want to join a team, but I would love to go to a competition.
Mm-hmm. Check out the website because there are regionals and then there's a championship. Mm-hmm. That would be a very fun one. And I love that it can be as simple as marbles and household items. I saw some vice grips. I'm like, somebody's missing those vice grips in that colander. Somebody's going to be crabby about that. Or 3M has one that I will post to show notes if I didn't already. 3M's was super. There are electronic components that start up a little... gadget that does a thing. They use a lot of their products. And so some of them can have some really high-tech components, but you could do this alone in your kitchen with all your stuff or out in the garage with just cheap free stuff. It doesn't have to cost money, which is some of the appeal with string and creativity and household objects. You can make a Rube Goldberg machine.
Ooh.
And people do.
I like this.
Yeah, it's really fun.
So if you're so inspired that you decide to build one, take a video and send it to us.
Yes.
And we'll put it up on the website. We'll put it up on Facebook. Oh, go out there and build stuff. If you're not so much into building things, but say you like sculpting and painting and you have a dog, you could get involved in competitive dog grooming. And I imagine as a hobby, you don't even have to make this competitive. You could just do dog grooming.
Yeah.
It's super huge in China, the United States, and the UK. So what is it?
I'm excited. Tell us.
I had pictures. Oh, hold on. Amy's going to step on over and take a look at my computer. In 2010, a new trend hit the internet, extreme dog grooming. It began in China, spread around the world.
There's a seahorse nautilus dog. It's groomed like its back leg is a seahorse and its main body is a nautilus.
And then the rest of his body is blue. A lot of poodles get used because they've got that dense fur. You can have your, why have your dog look like a dog when they can look like a panda or a tiger or even a tropical rainforest?
Or having its head be animal, rear end be Miss Piggy, and its tail being Gonzo. Like, these are clearly visible characters shaved in and spray painted into a dog's fur.
Yes. Now, the hair dyeing is supposedly done all with vegetable dyes, although they recommend, and then they use hairspray and props and they sculpt the hair. They recommend that you only do this to your dog once or twice a year because it's kind of, you know, it's a lot of dye.
There are a significant number where they have successfully rendered popular characters and you can easily see them. These people have some artistic skill and it's very weird.
Yeah, there's one that I particularly love. It's a poodle-y dog. So when you just see the picture, it looks like there's a mermaid laying on top of, well, blue water. And it turns out that the tail of the mermaid is the dog's face. Like, you can see his nose. And then his fur is sculpted so it looks like the tail. And then there's the
lady. You don't even notice it's a dog.
No. And her hair and stuff coming off the back is the dog's tail. You've got to go. You got to go look at these.
There's a picture of a really angry looking cat with some kind of shaved back art.
So there are. So the animal grooming in China, especially, this has been, it comes and goes with popularity with dyeing both dogs and cats. I've seen one on Instagram a lot. It's a cat who looks like he wants to kill somebody, but he's been sculpted and dyed so he looks like a dragon. It's epic. I mean, he looks epic, but
I think that sounds perilous.
Well, it is. And in 2012, a dye job in Beijing could take up to 5 hours and cost nearly $100. So I can only imagine what this must cost.
Yeah.
Now. Oh, they're just so great. Especially,
amazing.
I think what I like about the competition ones, instead of just making your dog look like a panda, I've seen one where they sculpted the dog so it looked like a camel, and then they put a saddle on it, and they had the, you know, like the harness that the camel wears. As I cruised by, I thought it was a camel, and then I went back.
Paused.
Yes. And there's a lot where they make them look like tigers, but the competition ones, like the Super Zoo Conference and Trade Show, it's in August of 2019.
Ooh, where?
They have a, it's in Las Vegas.
Of course.
They have a creative styling competition. And that's some of these ones that Amy and I were looking at where they'll pick a theme like rainforest. And I'm looking at a dog and his back looks like a toucan. So that's coming up a leg and there's a toucan and then there's flowers and trees. And
it looks like an angry toucan is biting a dog on the rear end.
It kind of does. And they can have props. The person who's done the art can also sometimes dress. I've seen ones like you mentioned the Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Well, then the person who styled it walks the dog out also dressed like Sesame Street.
Oh, I'd love it if Big Bird was walking along with all the...
It's pretty hardcore. And don't laugh because first place for this creative styling competition, the Super Zoo, is $2,500.
That pays for your airfare. Some fun meals.
So you're judged on your sharp, clean lines, your beautiful, vivid colors. They are vivid colors.
They are.
And
Wow. That is amazing.
So if you need something maybe a little slower, maybe a little easier pace.
Yes.
Although I don't know, maybe I'm being biased.
You are, because pensioners discover extreme hobbies.
And pensioners for Americans, that's retired people.
Telegraph UK did a picture gallery, and the photographer was a Russian photojournalist Vladimir Yakovlev. Please forgive me if the emphasis is in the wrong spot. He did these beautiful pictures of a whole bunch of retirement age folks, anywhere from 61 up and through their 80s and 90s, doing kind of unexpected hobbies. So, for instance, my favorite is Ruth Flowers. She started club DJing at 68. She lost her husband unexpectedly, suddenly, and needed to fill in the gap. And she...
Wait, so she up there with the records and she's mixing and...
That's Ruth. You go look at, she's on the website, because I loved her. She's wonderful.
She looks fabulous.
I kind of aspire to look that. It takes a certain sort of spunk, and she's definitely, from the tragedy of losing her husband, found some spunk. And she definitely got some flack from her friends and family, but she had a DJ name. She was...
What was it? What was it? Please tell me it was like Dr. Wrinkles.
Mammy Rock.
Oh, nice.
She passed away in 2014, but she did gigs in London, Ibiza, Paris, New York, LA, Tokyo. She made a big career of this until she was 83.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Lloyd Kahn first tried skateboarding at 65, and there's a great picture of him. He's got his helmet, and he says he's a conservative skateboarder. He's not doing ollies and triple flips or whatever they're called, but he is skateboarding. He has that awareness of whatever.
Oh, my
you
back.
Do. Yeah, yep. So he is conservative, but he's still out there skateboarding. And that one, it's never happening for me, I don't think.
Well, all I'd be doing is thinking, I'm going to break a hip. I'm like that now. I don't roller skate because I'm like, I'm going to injure my back again, and then I won't be able to tie my shoes.
He does look like a helmeted ninja a little bit. Wow. Or like a Western star who got all geared up to skateboard.
And he has a super cool mustache.
Face. Yeah, it's a great big Sam Elliott mustache.
You know, I like those kind of things because, you know, at times you're like, oh, I can't do that. I'm too old, or I don't have enough time. And then you see people like this and they're like, just do it. Make time.
Like the lady ninjas, Nina Melnikova and Antonina Kulikova. They're 75 and they're from Novosibirsk, Russia. And they picked up Aikido at 70 and they train twice a week. And each training session lasts around 3 hours. So that's some stamina.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And I think Aikido is it a grappling?
It is much grappling. Yeah. Chaz has a brown belt in Aikido. And
I think that I would like to be at that age. If I did that, I would absolutely be picking fights in the grocery store.
Just walking up, grabbing these people by their lapel. Funk. Boom. Yeah. I'm getting those bananas.
That's right. Those are my bananas. Bring it, lady.
Wow.
Yeah. I hope to be like that.
Although the theory is that once you get to be that good, that you don't need to fight anymore.
That's
because
true.
You
it's
just
sort of sad.
I know.
Kind of a bummer. All you can do is imagine bar fights where you break a pool stick in half and use it like Arnie sticks.
No. Ooh.
You can imagine that with us for a moment.
Well, you know what our hobbies are going to be? Making people bleed and going to jail.
Yay! Right. Come see our show. How fun. I love that. It's a good way to end our program.
I think so.
Do we have a program? That sounded very PBS.
It did. If you enjoyed our program, please come visit us at brainjunkpodcast.com. We'll have, lots of pictures. This is kind of a picture intensive, and lots of videos, lots of stuff to watch and learn about. I need to see some extreme ironing. I haven't watched any of that. I'm very excited.
With beautiful, majestic pictures of a guy ironing a t-shirt.
As the stuff is going past him. Especially if he's jumped out of an airplane. I want to see that.
Yeah.
For this and other wonderful ideas for new hobbies for you to try, look for Brain Junk wherever you find your podcasts. And please don't forget to like and subscribe.
We tweet at My Brain Junk, and you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Brain Junk Podcast. Drop us a line at brainjunkpodcast@gmail.com with your questions and episode ideas.
Or extreme hobby.
Yes.
If you have an awesome hobby, send us a picture. Send us, Facebook us, like us, find us there. We want to see what you're doing.
Yeah, we will make you moderately notable on our social media page.
You'll be partially famous.
Yeah. Trace and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored. Now go harvest that belly button lint, start your collection.
Ugh.